We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Here's the question. That damn button over there ain't working, T. Call Chain. Call Chain. Where you at, bub?
Here's user error.
Hey, here's the question. Could the Texans be forced to release Deshaun Watson? I talked yesterday about how the situation that I experienced on Sunday with the Indianapolis Colts, no traffic, getting shut out for the first time at home in franchise history in the regular season. The team doing the shutting out is the Indianapolis Colts, who is – in the AFC, at least, really, other than the Cowboys, is your most hated opponent here in Houston, a division rival. Your head coach appears to be completely out of sorts. It's as dysfunctional now as it was a year ago. I think, okay, it's rock bottom, show. It's got to be rock bottom. And then I'll be damned if I don't look up today. And our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 legal insider, Amy Dash, has dropped an article on her League of Justice website, which is phenomenal, by the way. I think you should go out there and check it out if you're really interested in the nuts and bolts of what's going on legally with several different deals around the league, which for us here in Houston is led with the Deshaun Watson conversation. She dropped an article, and it was about the Deshaun Watson situation, a bit of an update, if you will. And here's what I pulled from it. The case, Deshaun Watson's case, is likely to be presented to a grand jury in January. And if Deshaun is indicted, I'm not getting into all that. I don't know the details. It's just an if here. If Deshaun Watson is indicted by the grand jury in January, then he is likely to go on the commissioner's exempt list. I don't think it's likely. I think he's actually, I mean, once your charges are brought on you, I think that's an automatic trigger. But nonetheless, he's likely then at that point in time to go on the commissioner's exempt list. And if he is indicted and he goes on the commissioner's exempt list, it's likely that that will last through the 2022 season. Big if he's indicted, but if he is, it spells big time trouble for the Texans. Because right now, year one of a rebuild, paying a quarterback $10 million that you plan on trading him in the future and getting multiple first-round picks, multiple second-round picks, multiple third-round picks for, you can make sense of that. $10 million for all those draft picks, ultimately is what you're talking about. $10 million to have those kind of picks added to your next two or three drafts? I'm in on that $10 million. Well, if he goes on the commissioner's exempt list and he is likely to be out if he does the whole 2022 season show, that means the Texans would have to make this decision. Do you pay Deshaun Watson $35 million a year, which is his salary, plus $5 million of his bonus that you owe him for the 2022 season? Or do you release him outright and just bygones be bygones and be done with Deshaun Watson? That's a major, major change in the Deshaun Watson situation if that were to happen. And show, it's one that I'm glad I'm not Nick Caserio. I'm going to have to make that decision.
Clint, we just talked about in the last segment where Nick Caserio said if he's going to be candid, he was taking over a massive undertaking. This would turn that into a damn near impossible undertaking that he's taken over. Because with all of the stuff that he's had to deal with and there's been issues with, and we've chronicled all of them, the ace in the hole, the get out of – jail-free card that he had was, all right, I got Deshaun Watson, and at some point I am going to get several picks, several future picks, potentially 2 to 3 first-round picks, potentially, you know, 3 to 4 second, third, fourth-round level picks to really jumpstart to get young talent in here, right? I signed all these older talented guys, all these older guys, these vets in, because I can get quickly out of them, and then, bam, I'm going to have a lot of assets, my bad picks, and the picks that I could get from with Deshaun Watson. Hell, Matt Stafford got somebody 2 or 3 picks, including 2 first-round picks. What can a 25-year-old quarterback get me? And if that's taken off the table, I mean, that now it's really hard. Now you're dealing with a level of dysfunction that he walked into that has continued, and a level of issues with the head coach and all this, and not having those extra picks that can help save you. That is beyond massive undertaking, which, you know, he said.
Agreed. No, I don't know how a massive undertaking gets worse a year into it, but if it does, if it were to get worse, this is how it could get worse. Show, this is one of those deals where I said from the jump when Nick Caserio got here that it wouldn't surprise me if he was being real honest with us, if he'd say, hey, I'd just soon trade Deshaun Watson than have him. I mean, if I'm a new GM.
You're talking about right from the jump.
From the jump. If I'm a new GM, yeah, obviously I would love to have Deshaun. But if it's beyond, if you can't repair the issues, the fracture between him and the organization, and I just walked into it, well, at some point I'd be like, okay, well, if instead of dealing with this for a year or 2 years, ship him up out of here and just let me as a GM move forward with a surplus of draft picks to rebuild this thing, and let me make my own bed, so to speak. And now that this is a possibility, boy, you got to look and think Nick Caserio never thought when he took this gig that it could get this bad to where he could possibly be no Deshaun Watson and no additional draft capital moving forward in his attempt to rebuild this organization. I think this is a at least 1 year, maybe 2 year add to the rebuild.
Yeah, because you banked on this.
It was already a 3+ year for me because, like you said, you're rebuilding the entire front office. From Cal McNair down, you're rebuilding the joint, right? Not even talking about the coaching staff and the locker room. You're rebuilding this whole thing from top to bottom. I already think it was a 3+ year before you see any kind of you know, the results of the rebuild, whether it will or will not work. I think if this happens with Deshaun, I think it pushes it back another year, if not 2 years, without this draft capital. Maybe even more. I'm Clint Sterner. I'm with Ron and the show Ugly. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. And this little sounder right here, it's getting tickled by my man T-Meal, the real deal. Red 22. Hut, hut, hut. You boys watched Thursday Night Football last night?
I may have dabbled into it a little bit.
Well, it was Monday Night Football, so how, thanks for listening, Bob.
I was going to say, I watched Monday Night Football.
Listen, I figured you just made a mistake, and I'm just going to go on with it.
If you heard it, you'd have jumped on it like a duck on a June bug. Don't go lying now.
That's not true.
Ain't no doubt about it, man.
That is not true.
The Patriots,
I'm your teammate here.
The Patriots beat the Bills in some of the worst weather I've ever seen for a football game, other than those those Green Bay days back in the day.
Yeah, when the ice bowl.
The ice bowl and all that
frozen
jazz.
Frozen tundra.
It wasn't quite that bad, but it was ugly.
But you take cold over – if you're like the quarterback, you take cold over the wind, wouldn't you?
I would rather play in that wind last night than that cold that the ice bowl is in.
Would you?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's impossible. Last night, I mean, geez.
Because I think of – you remember the Giants-Packers NFC Championship game where it looked like Tom Coughlin? Yeah, Tom Coughlin was about to
look like
just,
he had cherry tomatoes on his nose and cheeks.
And he looked like he was froze right there. It was cold, but they were still able to throw the ball and stuff around. It was super cold.
Yeah.
Yesterday, they couldn't catch the punt. Like the ball was moving on the snap of the punt.
Yeah.
Let alone kicking it.
I'm watching that Man in the Arena with Tom Brady right now, and I don't remember if it was the Super Bowl when Vinatieri kicked the field goal and all the snow and stuff, you could hardly see.
The first year against the Raiders.
Was that? Yeah, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And
that was a tuck game, wasn't it?
Yes, that was a tuck rule.
Yeah.
But that, like, one of the touchdowns, I can't remember who caught it. I can't remember who it was. But one of them, like, I don't even know how he saw the ball coming. Yeah. Like, it was snowing so hard. I don't know how you saw the ball coming. It's crazy. I would rather play in that damn wind and just go, Coach, let's just run it. Let me throw it three times a day, pick up this big old check on Tuesday, get us a dub, and get out of here. But that Patriots-Bills game last night, real quick. So there was a lot involved in this game. But what went on with the Bills last night is a concern for me with where the QB position is headed in the NFL. Brian Daboll, he called maybe two, maybe three design QB runs last night in a situation where Mother Nature was saying, hey, big dog, I don't care how big your arm is, you ain't throwing it today. It ain't going to happen. I mean, it's not going to happen. This is going to be a run-heavy football game, and it was.
Brian Daboll said, the hell I'm not.
Yeah, Brian Daboll decided he's going to throw it 30 times last night. and I just don't – this is a shining example of a dual-threat quarterback drafted, has been played, and has been paid with a dual-threat skill set that's unbelievable. Great, unbelievable skill set. And now you're in a ball game where it's blatantly obvious you need to establish the run. It's all you're going to be able to do. If you're going to play the percentages and have a chance to win this ball game, you need to run the football. And they called two, maybe three, and I'm being generous with that, by the way, because I think it was less than that, designed quarterback runs. I don't know how you draft, play, and pay a quarterback with that skill set, and then when you need it the most in one of the biggest games of your season, you don't even use it. You don't even go to it. You don't even go to it late in the fourth quarter when you're inside the 25-yard line and got a chance to take the lead with a touchdown. They draft these guys, and they're unbelievably talented, so they go have some success. But then you really put them in this box and you ask them to win games consistently the way that Tom Brady and Drew Brees have won games consistently.
But the weird,
I think it's silly.
The weird part, though, is it's been a criticism of Daboll and how they treat Josh Allen.
Oh, like running him, you're talking
about?
Yeah, I know.
They've run him too much. And yesterday he was like trying to trick him or something. Saying, well, they think we're going to run this. No, watch this. We're going to throw it 30 times. And Dawson Knox, every time a pass play was called, the tight end for the Bills, like, oh, God.
I mean, that was last night, God. Was wild. I mean, they never one time. And I'm not saying that New England was actually the lower ranked run defense in this ball game, believe it or not. So Buffalo should have committed more to the run than the New England Patriots did because they were running against one of the better deep run defenses in the game. But like Buffalo has the opportunity with Josh Allen to force defenses to play sound football sideline to sideline. You leave a gap anywhere, they can hit it. Just like Lamar Jackson, just like Kyler Murray. I mean, there's guys. You can do that on a week-to-week basis if you want to, and you should do it. Last night, you had no business not doing it, and you decided not to do it. This is just my concern with – I love these great quarterbacks, but these guys that don't know what to do with them and just refuse to use them the right way when the Mother Nature's telling you it's the only choice you got, that's scary, man.
Yeah. All right, Clint. Alex Bregman of the Astros is saying he's going to save the day. It's an awful idea. We'll let you hear what that is from him coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the Show.
All right, Clint. Our guy Michael Schwab, he hosts the Schwab Cast podcast, and Clint, he had Astros third baseman Alex Bregman on talking about his offseason and moving forward, and then he spoke about potentially being willing to change positions. This was Alex Bregman.
I'm training every day to be as athletic as I possibly can. I feel like my most athletic days were in 2018 and 2019. I was basically a shortstop playing third base. I want to be able to move like a shortstop again and cut angles better. And I feel like all of that soft tissue BS is behind me. I feel like I found the cause for it. I now have the pieces in place to prevent it from happening again.
Let's just say at some point Dusty and Espada were like, hey, we need you to play it short. Is that something you'd love to do?
Yeah, I'd play it at an all-star level. Don't get me wrong. If we can sign bag number one, I'd love to.
Absolutely.
Why not make it 150 postseason games played together?
All right, that's Alex Bregman, and there's a few things to touch there. I'm curious from you, somebody who has played athletics at the highest level. When he says, I believe the soft tissue stuff is behind him and he's found out things that could help that, that's one I'm not understanding. Like, what could he have found that could solve those issues? Because it's been hamstrings, it's been quad, it's been calves, been a lot of leg issues. I wonder what can occur where you're like, all right, I've solved that. Or
well, I mean, there's a couple of different things, right? I mean, it could be an old injury that's creating some kind of something out of whack in terms of his the balance in his right side and his left side, or his upper half and lower half. I mean, there could be like one hamstring could be stronger than the other, or his quads could be too strong in relation to his hamstrings. His glutes could be too strong for, you know, there's certain formulas for certain body types that all of those things have to be in sync. And if one of them is too strong from the other and is overcompensating, then you got major issues. It could be just a flexibility, range of motion type of deal. If I remember correctly, Tyler, didn't he put on some weight, bulked up or something a couple of seasons ago?
Yeah. It was two seasons ago. He kind of bulked up.
And like then before the COVID-19, right?
This past season, he shed a lot of that off.
Yeah. So he could have in the process of building that muscle, worked something too much, became too strong with, all joking aside, you know, somebody talking the other day about Jeff Driscoll's hamstrings. Yeah. Like if your hamstrings aren't, if one's stronger than the other, or they're not pulling their weight, so to speak, for lack of better terms, like compared to your quads, then you could have major, major issues that they're just going to keep happening until you correct the problem. This is why when we were going through all those injuries with him and
Brantley is head.
The pitcher that had the issue that kept having the same issue with the shoulder. The one that the Rocket butchered his last name.
Urquidy.
There you go. Yeah, he, you know, both of those guys there, it struck me as something like, because I remember Jose Urquidy saying it's the same shoulder, but he don't know what was causing it. It could have been something very similar to where you got to identify what the problem is, what's causing those issues, fix that problem, and then that in turn will fix the soft tissue issues. So there was something, it could be an alignment issue with his body. It could be one muscle being stronger than the other. It could be one leg being stronger than the other. It could be anything, but identifying the source of the issue is what's important.
Well, yeah, because I'm trying to learn. Because I hear it, I'm thinking, he just all of a sudden, it's solved.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, hold on, man, it's solved. Like, it's because it's been year after year, there's been some kind of leg injury that is –
Well, if they can, last year
it was two of them that set him down for 2 months.
I mean, they have the technology now, though, show where not that it's changed in the last 2 months, but maybe he just started giving a rip because it's become a problem, right? But they have the technology now to tell you exactly in relation to your left leg, right leg, for your quad to your hamstring, you know, all these different, where should the ratios be? Where are the weaknesses at? Where are the strengths at? What do you got to do to fix them? And I would imagine I would imagine that's why he sat out so long this season, is because they identified a problem and it wasn't going to be fixed overnight. It required him strengthening a different part of his body to balance everything out. And the it takes time to do that. You can't snap your fingers and do that overnight. And if you just like heal the hamstring or the quad and then push him back out there and never solve the problem, the hamstring and quad are going to pop again.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's just it's to me, that's the biggest thing that we hear out of that whole piece right there. Michael Schwab, by the way, hell of a job. Good podcast there. Good listen. Great nugget coming from Bregman. That's the whole thing. To hell with the shortstop and the Correa and all that stuff. To me, the biggest part of it is when he said he feels like he's figured it out and that stuff's behind him. For the Astros, I don't care if you're playing third base. I don't care if you're playing shortstop. I don't care if you're playing either one of them at an all-star level. I really don't. What I need you to do is be available and be able to swing the stick for this team. Yeah. Ultimately, that's what we need from Bregman moving forward. And yeah. you damn sure can't afford to lose Correa and then also Bregman never be who he was again back, you know, a couple years ago, back a year ago. So that's the nugget out of that piece for me, show is dude strongly, confidently says he's figured out the issues.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley, Tyler Milner in here. And you can say to hell with the shortstop move. I won't. That was what stuck out to me in that conversation is just because he sounds confident doesn't mean that I am confident that he is just going to be good and be in the lineup every day, unlike he has been. Just like because he sounded confident doesn't feel like I feel that I would feel completely confident that he's got these behind him. I sure hope he does. I sure hope whatever he's doing helps that. But when he says playing shortstop, I'm not a fan of that idea. In fact, I think it's a bad idea. Like, I can see on the surface you say to yourself, ooh, there's guys like Chris Bryant out there who can play third base, and you shift him over, and now you like
ooh,
that.
That'd be sexy.
You like that side of the infield.
You don't like that side?
Oh, I like it, but what you just said, though, is – man, the one thing you don't want to do is lose Correa and then not have Bregman be the same. And to me, I don't know how shifting him over to outside a catcher, which is arguably the most demanding position on your body at shortstop, how that could be a move to put you in the best situation of protecting him and making sure he's out there being the same guy that you need him to be. And I think the injury factor potentially goes up for somebody who has had stints on the DL and had constant leg issues, and now this time a wrist issue that made him look like a completely different hitter in the World Series that he immediately had surgery after. To me, play third base and let's figure out a move there. To me, that's got to be the distant. Like, that's got to be the backup plan D is putting him in at shortstop. To me,
so you're worried about him physically at shortstop?
Physically, yes. Yes, I'm worried about him physically being able to play how many games you think? What, 155 games? That'd be nice if you got from Bregman with that. Yeah, I have.
Dude, after this year I'll take 150, 145.
Yeah, I have concerns that him playing that position could with his history with injury. I'm not saying that shortstop is it's got to be some amazingly durable person, but he's not. I mean, Correa plays there, but this is constant. And to me, I don't want to see that. I need him in the lineup.
I want to see it, and I want him to stay healthy, so I can tell you he's wrong.
That's what it is here. Is you want him to play short?
I don't like the difference in terms of physically taxing. Like, the difference between third and short is to me very minimal when you take into consideration this is a guy that's going to hit 4 or 5 times a game and leg out doubles and singles and leg out infield, you know, ground balls and things of that nature. Like, if he can't play shortstop and hit at the plate, then damn, I mean, injury's just going to have to plague him his entire career. I mean,
at this point that they have plagued him. I mean, that's been like, I mean, he's not,
no,
had,
I mean, he just, in the last couple of years, he's had some hamstring quad issues. He had a bad one this year. I don't know. My point is, I don't care what his history is. My point is like, if a guy moving from third to short all of a sudden puts him at a place where he can't stay healthy, or it's that much added risk, I mean, damn, what are we asking a guy to do? I mean, how's he going to bat 4 or 5 times and leg out doubles and singles and things of that nature, but yet he can't handle the 2 or 3 ground balls a game that may be slightly more strenuous than third base?
Yeah, but it's not just 2 or 3 ground balls. It's It, like the,
you
that's
old. You suffering granny's panties.
I'm not suffering granny's panties. All right, you just
suffering granny's panties, man. Hey, we might as well wrap old Yordan. We're gonna put Yordan in bubble wrap. We're gonna
not,
put
man?
Bregman in bubble wrap.
Put him at catcher.
We go, who else are we gonna put in bubble
put
wrap?
Put Yordan at catcher, man. Why not, man? Let's do that. Let's get that bat in the lineup. Let's put him at catcher, because, hell, why would you have to ask the guy to bend down with those bad knees to catch
bad
every day?
Bad knees he got.
Yeah.
Old granny panties.
Yeah, whatever. All right, Caserio spoke earlier today, and he was hit with the question, hey, David Culley going to be your head coach next year? Wait till you hear what answer he gave. We'll let you hear that next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, Clint, this was interesting, and it was the second question. If you missed, on Payne and Pendergast this morning, Nick Caserio spoke with those guys, and it was a great interview. But this was the second answer given in this interview when Seth asked Nick Caserio, hey, is David Culley going to be back next year? What's the future of your head coach?
I mean, I respect the question, Seth, but I'm not going to make any commentary about what's going to happen after the season. Our focus right now is on getting ready for the Seahawks. My responsibility, you know, I've been put in charge to run the football operation and oversee all aspects of it. So anything that we do in the off season, from evaluating our scheme to evaluating, you know, where our program is headed, you know, we'll have those conversations after the season. My responsibility is to our coaching staff and to support them to the best of my ability, and that's what I'm going to continue to do on a daily basis. So, and really, this week, the focus is on getting ready for Seattle, and that's what we're going to do.
All right, that was Nick Caserio. Generally, I wonder how many coaches around the league that are first-year coaches, that if their general manager was asked, is he going to return next year, that it doesn't just start with a yes. But in this case, it didn't, Clint. It was a, I'm not going to talk about next year, and then kind of, as you would say, dancing around things.
Yeah.
A bit there, and just interesting, your thoughts, you've been around this league for a long time and seen how these things go. Your thoughts when you hear Nick Caserio's answer about David Culley's future?
I'm glad that he didn't answer it the way that you said every other, you know, first year head coach's GM would answer it. I'm glad he didn't say yes. I mean, I think not. I mean, glad is not the right word. I think the right thing to do is to answer it honestly, and I think he did answer it honestly. I think right now the jury's still out. I personally think that Nick Caserio hired David Culley in hopes to get 2 years out of him. I think as this year has gone, I think it's been significantly worse than he ever thought it would be. And you know, I think he's got to question the direction of the organization moving forward as it pertains to the head coach. That's managing the locker room. I think it becomes more and more important moving forward that the guy that's responsible in the locker room for the players on a day-to-day basis, I think that guy needs to be a coach that the players respect. I think it needs to be a coach that can handle the media commitment, if you will, for the Texans, and I just don't think that David Culley is capable of doing those things. I think there's a lot of people out there that are going to, you know, complain about you know, maybe the organization not committing more to David Culley, and maybe they should, but I think people from the outside looking in.
Okay.
I think people that don't know what's going on in Houston, like what's really going on in Houston, and don't follow it on a daily basis. I think people from the outside are looking in are going to criticize the Texans for.
We talked to Michael Irvin about it. He said it wouldn't be fair.
Yeah,
if he were let go.
People are going to think it's not fair, and people are going to twist it and turn it. But ultimately, if you're in Houston and if you're paying attention to what's going on, I'm not saying that they should or they will part ways with him. But to think that it's not a conversation, if it weren't a conversation right now with Nick Caserio in that building, then you got to question what Nick Caserio and company are up to. I've said it before. I think the bridge the gap coach is dangerous, and we're seeing right now what I'm talking about. I think the next 5 weeks for the Houston Texans, they got to do everything they can to keep this locker room from fracturing in a major way.
What are we seeing right now?
I mean, you're on the verge of it. You got three of your best defensive players can't stay on the field, can't show up on time, can't not cause fights in a meeting, and can't not argue with the coach and all these kind of things. Which, to me, I'm not saying that I would have major issues with that. Those wouldn't be discipline issues for me. I mean, I'm just saying you got some of your more important players on the defensive side of football, players that you would like to keep around long term here if they could get right. I mean, hell, not only can they not get right, they can't even get on good terms with this regime, and they can't even keep their helmet on Sunday, right? And these are critical players. And then you look offensively, and you got this team trying to talk this team into committing to Tyrod Taylor and David Johnson and you know, things like that. It's you got Laremy Tunsil not even getting back on the field. I mean, it's just it takes a dynamic dude to navigate all these issues in a locker room and just keep players together. There's a level of honesty that has to be there. There's a level of confidence that has to be there. And it's a unique combination if you're going to be a guy that can thrive in that situation and do what Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby do what they need the head coach for the Houston Texans to do. Whether you think it's fair or not is irrelevant, because I think they're putting – the head coach in some no-win situations. But with that said, it just takes a unique skill set from a head coach to be able to navigate all that in a positive way, and I don't think David Culley can do those things.
No, I don't. And I think the biggest thing his answer says, if you missed it, Nick Caserio on earlier, was very non-committal on the future and if David Culley would return next year. And I think it jumps out as to me is it has to be a conversation. It has to be at least on the docket of not to say it's going to happen or not, but if it wasn't, like, I am 100% confident that the GM with the Lions would say, yeah, Dan Campbell's coming back.
Yeah.
We're building something here. Dan Campbell will be back. Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, the GM with the Jets, Robert Saleh, he'll be back. We're building something. We're struggling. Last week we got embarrassed.
Yeah,
but
you're saying right now
that the Texans aren't there.
No, they're not there. But what you're saying about those other teams is why they can survive. And I'm not talking about the coach. I'm talking about the team. It's why they can survive and rebuild, if you will, through a 1-10-1 season, you know, or 1-14-1 seed, 15-1 seed, whatever it may be. You know The reason you can deal with that adversity, weather that storm, is because you know the dudes in the locker room are fighting for their – like Dan Campbell, this is his shot to be a head coach. And they're 1-10-1, and the dudes in the locker room with him, y'all are my guys. We're going to be here long term. We are the ones that have been tasked with turning this organization. Nobody in that locker room over there thinks of David Culley. Nobody player-wise in that locker room thinks that David Culley is the long-term answer in Houston.
Why, just because of what he's shown this year thus far, or just?
Well, I mean, do you think he's a long-term answer?
Well, I don't.
The same reason you don't.
Well, hold on. I wouldn't think he should be. I don't know what the Texans think, but I wouldn't think he should be.
I think the same things that we see, and I know it took some people a little bit longer to see. Some people were in the give him a chance at stand, you know, but. The same things that we see is the team sees. They're not foolish, especially when you start hearing about arguments in the locker room and arguments in meeting rooms and things of that nature. There's no way that this organization watches Bill Belichick win a ball game last night, throwing it three times, and then comes over here and goes, "Yep, this is the guy we're going to put our next contract on right here, winning ball games." There's no way. My only point in saying that is those other teams have it. That's why they got a chance to win ball games, why they got a chance to turn this thing around. The Texans are going the other direction because they don't have that. And so I wonder if Nick Caserio at this point in time is the plan was to give Culley a couple of years to bridge this gap, but I wonder if he looks at it and goes, man, we're going the wrong direction. We're going the wrong direction fast.
Yeah, Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, and OT Sleazy, Tyler Milner, produces this thing. And Clint, Tyler, doing? I'm so excited. When I was listening to Payne and Pendergast earlier today, it is pure proof that Nick Caserio listens to us. I think he's got us on in his office right now. It is clear that Nick listened to us. Because last week, we had his tight end, his rookie tight end, Brevin Jordan, who we were enjoying watching him get time. We had him on, and he talked to us about his new tight end partner, Jeff Driskel. That's what he said.
Believe it or not, man, Jeff Driskel is freakishly athletic. Freakishly athletic. And people don't – I know. It sounds ridiculous or whatever.
It does.
People don't know he's freakishly athletic. He has damn near – excuse my language, but he has, like, the strongest hamstrings out of all the mid positions. So, I mean, for linebackers, tight ends, kickers, quarterbacks, he has the strongest. And we weekly test every week on hamstring strength and stuff like that. He's always first. Explosiveness, he's always top of the list, top three between all the mids. He's hit 22 miles per hour before. He's freakishly fast. Like, he is freakishly fast and freakishly athletic. So, I think, you know, once he gets his opportunity to go out there, man, I think y'all are going to be like, all right, like, this was a solid move for him. He is an athletic cat.
All right, that was Brevin Jordan. He said freakishly athletic multiple times.
Freakishly fast.
And freakishly fast. He really liked that freakishly part. Well, Nick Caserio was asked about Jeff Driskel playing tight end by the guys today. This was his answer.
I mean, look, Jeff's a smart guy. I'd say he's given us some different, you know, looks in practice. He works hard. I think, quite frankly, some of the commentary, I haven't heard everything, but, you know, it's been over-exaggerated relative to his freakish athleticism. So, look, Jeff's a good athlete. He runs well. He's tough. He's smart. He has playing strength. You know, he's played in games. You know, he's kind of a, I would say, third quarterback to, you know, developmental player. So how do you carry those players on your team? What's your depth on the roster relative to what your options are? So I would say the answer to that question, Jeff's been good to work with. So, you know, there's really no issues with Jeff. So, and again, everybody I'm sure has their opinions on it. I respect that, you know, position, your position on it, and what other people think. You know, ultimately, we're going to do what we think makes the most sense for us.
He used freakishly athletic. He said it was overblown.
I mean, Nick's an old quarterback. I mean, he's won a lot, and he's been around winners in his time.
He used it.
I mean, there's no doubt about it that when he gets in his rig and heads to the house, there's no doubt about it that Nick flips on Clint Sterner in the show, buddy.
He does, and he's freakishly athletic. I mean, who else said that? Now Brevin said that.
Freakishly athletic.
That's right.
Is an athletic cat.
I will say this, Clint. I feel a whole lot better. I don't know how true it is, but I feel a whole lot better about hearing that response from Nick Caserio about Jeff Driskel and him moving to tight end and what that's about than his tight ends coach comparing him to Lamar Jackson and his tight end, Brevin Jordan, saying he's freakishly athletic and he makes a play every day in practice. This sounds more to what you were saying at the beginning when you refused to believe that they're seriously looking at him at tight end. You thought this was just some sort of a scout team look type of deal. That the way that Nick kind of talked about it there seemed more closer to that than what Brevin Jordan and Andy Bischoff are saying.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that there's conflicting stories here. I mean,
Andy told us it was his idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I do believe that Nick Caserio's explanation makes a whole lot more sense than all the other freakish comments. You know, comments that started with freakish, whether we're talking about athletic or hamstrings or whatever. I won't buy it until I see it that this dude's a tight end. But I'm gonna be honest with you. If you had to bet right now, one snap offensively at the tight end position, the remaining games of the season. We got five games in the season left. We got five games left. If you had to bet one snap or more, whether we ever see Jeff Driskel at the tight end position, what are you betting right now?
I'm hammering the over.
What are you doing, show?
Makes me sick to say that, but it's going to happen.
I'm trying to not think logically is what I'm trying to get out of my brain.
I don't think there's any doubt we see Jeff Driskel get a snap at the tight end position this season.
For sure.
I'll say no. I'll say I listened to – I don't know why I'm doing this. I listened to Nick, and I've
I'll say no. He's not going to get on the field as a tight end.
For sure.
Oh, that's good.
I think I'll say no.
Can we on it? Can we bet that bottle on it?
I need a day off on the bottle betting right now. I'm sitting there because what I was thinking when you were saying it was like, who's got a better chance to get on the field? Laremy Tunsil at left tackle or Jeff Driskel at tight end?
I think there is zero doubt that as we go down the stretch here,
you think he gets it.
Well, there's no other. Here's the deal. Here's the thing. If Jeff Driskel is a emergency quarterback, then he should be listed as an inactive third string quarterback. And the fact of the matter is that he's listed as a tight end on the inactive list. And the fact of the matter is he's moved to tight end. And so if you got an emergency quarterback, especially now with Tyrod Taylor's injury, if you got an emergency quarterback, like he needs to be getting scout team reps at quarterback. He needs to be getting mental reps at quarterback, not playing tight end. And so I just believe that there's some truth to it. I believe you take the tight ends coach comments, you take Brevin Jordan. The thing that stuck out with Brevin Jordan's comments is not the freakish athlete. He said, when he gets his opportunity, y'all are going to see what we're talking about.
Just you wait.
Yeah, look, I would bet $100 that Jeff Driskel takes a snap at the tight end position for the Texans this year.
There's got to be a line to this. $100. Hell, maybe you'll see him this Sunday. And
word on the street is out there. Y'all go shows out here in the hallway just blowing ass.
Congratulations to Michael, who won our pair of tickets here. Why don't you go in there and go fart together?
I think you need to apologize. I think you need to apologize to whoever the lady was. You don't even know who she was, and you're out there crop dusting her.
I feel bad. It's the second time in my life this has happened to me.
Wow, I just realized something, too. This is the same guy that's gotten on my ass
no question.
Multiple times for tooting in a studio.
There was a completely different thing. I was in a clear area.
No, you were actually in a much more confined space walking down the hallway and just tractor pulled the hell out of a lady that you never met.
No, I was not.
And the bad thing was she was heading on. She was in like literally about five steps from the boss's office, so she's probably either related to or doing business.
Congratulations, Michael. Coming up. Told you that in comp. Coming up, the Texans. God, man, it is so hard. They look bad again. Look really, really bad again. And I don't even know if it's their fault this time. We'll discuss that coming up next.
He is an athletic cat.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.